Anyways, thank you very much. So we're going to discuss tonight the inyan of achraza, the inyan of saying yichidan in the name of Malach
Hamashiach. Achraza is a phrase.
Achraza is actually you call out something.
Call out.
A declaration. That's how achraza is. So what's the inyan? We're going to discuss the inyan of achraza. So. So number one, the idea of actually being calling out, dafka calling out, why is it so important to call out? So we have that already by Admosa. The Rebbe said, you know, there's the inyan dafka in shouting Admosa, calling out, there's many sikhs where the Rebbe emphasizes the inyan of being machris. And just to point out, before we go into that even in Yemes HaMashiach, after the Skalas HaMashiach, we're going to have the Shleimus Gilei Atzmus, we still, the Achroze is going to play, the major role in our identification, then with Mashiach is going to be through Achroze.
Screaming.
Declaring that he is Mashiach. That is even after Yemes HaMashiach. In other words, to put it in this way, the Rebbe says, we have in several places, which is it's a double pashat, but the Rebbe actually says it in the Sifas also, that the Gilei Atzmus L'Asadabi is going to be through Mashiach. I mean, we're going to see Gilei Atzmus in Mashiach, and as a result, we see Atzmus everywhere else in the world. In other words, the Gilei Elokus L'Asadabi is going to be through Mashiach, through seeing the Elokus in Mashiach. And how will our identification with Mashiach will be with Achraza, the epitome of the highest point in our identification with Mashiach, the highest point or the starting point, wherever you want to have it, it's with Achraza. So in other words, the whole Gilei Elokus, which is going to be through Mashiach, is going to be all starts and ends with the inyan of Achraza. So that's Achraza has a very important role in the inyan of Mashiach, and that is even La'asidlabi. It's not going away. That is the connection to Mashiach through Achraza. But that's in general. But now let's just discuss what is the idea of this Achraza. So now, you go through the sikhas of Nun Aleph and Nun Beis, you actually see going through the sikhas where the Rebbe said many times, repeatedly, is talking about Achraza when it's about the girl, or when it comes to Pashas Tove, the Rebbe has talked about Achraza many times in different situations. But then you come to the Pashas of Lech Lecha, where the Rebbe speaks about the term. He actually uses it before, but here in Lech Lecha he starts using it every week continuously, and he expounds on it. He's talking about the inyan of, in Lech Lecha he starts speaking about the inyan of Evan Mikir Tizach, the stone of the wall in Yemes Mashiach, the stones are going to speak. You know, like we say when the Gemara says, when you go, someone will go Shabbos and want to pick a tainer from the tree, a fig from a tree, the tainer is going to scream, it's Shabbos today, how can you do it? So the same thing that it says, it's a Lashon HaPosuk, Evan Mikir, the stone of the wall is going to scream out. So there, this is what the Rebbe says in Lech Lecha. This is the inyan of Rebbe there connected with the inyan of identifying with Mashiach, Evan Mikir Tizak. Then you have in Pashas Vayera, the Rebbe goes through the same thing again, adding more words. Then in Toldos, you have the inyan of Chi Adini Melech David. Then, and this is what we want to get to. I want to get to the Sikh of Pashas Vayera. Here comes to Pashas Vayera. The Rebbe discusses the inyan of Evan discusses a lot about the Evan, and again he talks about this inyan of Evan Mikir Tizak. But what happens in Pasha Vayetze, the Rebbe sort of brings out, emphasizes a new Nakuda. I can't say it's a completely new, but something is a Nakuda, which is actually very unique to the Rebbe. How do I know it's unique to the Rebbe? Because there's a maimer, a very well-known maimer, part of a Shalom, which the Rebbe Rashab said, and the Rebbe chazed over. And one of the main nekudas which the Rebbe adds in this maimah over that what the Rebbe Rashab said, the Rebbe says there, the Rebbe Rashab explains how the Ruchnis b'Moyis Mashiach. They're discussing all about Yemoyis Mashiach. One of the most famous memorim of Yemoyis Mashiach. This maim of Padu B'Shalom from the Rebbe Rashab. And there he says that the Ruchnis is going to be penetrate the Gashmis, is going to saturate the Gashmis, etc., etc. There the Rebbe, when the Rebbe chazes over the maim, the Rebbe adds, the Gashmis is going to respond to the Lakus, not because the Ruchnis is penetrating the Gashmis. The Gashmis will connect to the Lakus and react to the Lakus on its own accord, independently of the Ruchnis. That is what the Rebbe adds over there. That is that Nakuda. So when it comes to this Sikha Pasha Vayetze, the Rebbe starts out the Sikha, he begins the Sikha speaking in the regular Mahalach, that the Ruchnis, talking about Yemoyis Mashiach, that the Ruchnis is going to come and saturate the Gashmis. That is the whole beginning part of the Sikha till Oiv Zvav and Oiv Zayin. And then the Rebbe goes over to another stage, and the whole Sikha is built around this, that he's bringing out, the Gashmis itself does not need the Ruchnis. The Gashmis is going to be the leader in claiming a lakus and recognizing a lakus, and everything which is what to do with a lakus will all be coming from the Gashmis on its own accord, and the Gashmis will be leading the Ruchnis. And this is where the Rebbe comes and brings about this. He brings this whole thing which he had been repeating in previous weeks about the Evan, the stone is going to scream out. Here it's all about the Gashmis. Pasha screaming out the Gashmis. Remember, so why is it so important? Because remember, when we're talking about Gilel Lakus, how we always imagine Gilel Lakus, as something beyond us, above us, something Ruchnistic. So here we have it very clearly from the Rebbe that no, the Gilel Lakus is Daf Mitzad Mitzis HaGashmi. And that is why, when we said before, when it comes even in Yemoyis Mashiach, what is going to be our connection to Lakus? It's all going to be through Mashiach. And our connection to Mashiach is going to be primarily through Achroza, because Achroza is Inyan Gashmi, like the stone screaming out, we're screaming out, it's Inyan Gashmi. Gashmi is letting itself out, its energy out and screaming, right? That's what it is, Bapashtas. And this is what the Rebbe is emphasizing in this Sikha, about the Gashmi sort of busting with energy and screaming about out about Lakus, about Mashiach, etc. And this is where our connection to Lakus, it's all from the Begashim. It's not from our spiritual capabilities, our smartness, our whatever, our different irrigation. No, you're talking about Posha Begashmis. Because this was in this Sikha. Now, this thing, what the Rebbe discussed in this Sikha, Pashas Vayetze, the Rebbe actually goes on to discuss it in the Sikhas after Pasha V'Yetzin. All the Sikhs afterwards, the Rebbe sort of goes very strongly on this theme, how Gashmis is outdoing the Ruchnis, right? Now this goes on till Pasha's boy. Goes on further Pasha's boy, but we want to stop here at Pasha's boy. Now why do we want to stop here at Pasha's boy? Because here in Pasha's boy, there's something very, very, I call it strange. I just want to bring out what's going on over here. Because the way it was in the Sikhas earlier, from Pasha Vayetze, the Rebbe started talking about opening your eyes. He started talking about the Pasha Vayetze. Pasha told him, he says, wake up. Pasha Vayetze starts talking about opening your eyes. Pasha says, Yishtach, he goes, open your eyes. That's what the Rebbe, the main two Sikhas would be Pasha's Vayetze and Pasha's Vayishtach. You test Kislev then also. Then the Rebbe keeps repeating it again and again in different ways, in different forms. Now, when it comes, the last time the Rebbe mentions it is in Pasha's boy. Here in Pasha's boy, the Rebbe says these words. He said, the Ruchnis, the eyes of the Yidden, the Anayim HaRuchnim of the Yidden, ready see the Gula. What is missing, only the Naim HaGashmis, the Naim HaGashmis should see the Gula.
Right.
So now what happens over here, this is like a very big, for anyone who you follow the Sikhas, if this may be a very big setback. Why? Because you look at all the Sikhas till now, the Rebbe is talking about, the Rebbe says, Gulik, open your eyes and see the Gulik Kipshutte. He never mentions a word about Ruchnias. He says, see the Gulik Kipshutte. When you see these words, see the Gulik Kipshutte, how do we understand it to mean? That we today could see the Gula we understand the Rebbe's words, and the Rebbe's words actually apply, that the Gula is here, and we just have to open our eyes to see it. Here the Rebbe comes and tells us, you should know the garuch mistika eyes, have to see it, and now we have the gash mistika eyes, have to see it. From this you could understand l'cheira, which is very easy to understand, that whatever the Rebbe is saying about the Gula being here is all Baruchness, and Megashmiz has not yet, which is sort of retracting from the whole Koch, where the Rebbe is saying Kepshutta, here the Rebbe says Baruchness, you see it, and you have to see it Megashmiz. And this is, by the way, this is the way it's actually quoted, and it's actually explained, and it's like this, etc. Okay. So now, Just to explain what's going on over here. This, what the Rebbe is actually saying here is just the opposite. Now, why? Because the Mahalak, what the Rebbe has been starting from Vayetze is to bring out the Maila of Gashmis over Ruchnis. The Gashmis does not need the Ruchnis. This is the Mahalak, what the Rebbe is doing. It's based on this, a word from the Rebbe Marash. Hanashoma, also the goof is not going to be. The Neshom is going to be fed from the goof. But even when you say the Neshom is going to be fed from the goof, there's different ways of understanding it. This, what the Nekudah, what the Rebbe says, that the Gashmis is going to outdo the Ruchnis, etc., etc. That's the Rebbe's individual mahalach in this inyan. And this is what the Rebbe is discussing in all these sikhs. Now, what happens to Pasha's boy, the Rebbe takes one step more forward. And one of the Rebbe, there's a whole sikha there is built about Moshe going into Paroi. And the Rebbe explains that Paroi is the greatest Giluim, Atzmus Mhus. And the whole point of the sikha was that the Ruchnis, you're talking about Gilui Elokus. Paroi is going on, is Beriu Kol Noheri, and that's Atzmus Mhus. So the Rebbe is saying, Moshe did not fear the Ruchnis, Giluim of Pale, he was a ruchnis dike gilev atzmos. But of glucose, Moshe did not fear. His whole issue was a gashmis dike, because the gashmis is so much greater. This is what he was afraid. So what the Rebbe is actually,
who's gashmis?
The gilev lukusim iti is a gashmi. The gilev of Pale, I don't know, whatever you let's, but the gilev lukusim iti is a gashmi. That's what Moshe was fearing. The gilev of ruchnis, Moshe didn't fear. So what the Rebbe is doing here in this city is
where
Gilui Elokim, you're talking about the Eibishter is going to be Megala himself. The way we always imagine the Eibishter, we imagine the Eibishter, let's say, create something. He saw the Eibishter, they saw Gilui Ruchni. Matan Torah was a Gilui Ruchni. You know, we always imagine it as something spiritual. Here the Rebbe is saying that Moshe wasn't this, what we always imagine about the Elokus. That is not what Moshe was fearing. He was fearing the Gilui of Elokus, which is represented in Pari, which is going to be Metzias HaGashmi. And that is what Moshe feared. He didn't want to go into Pari because of that. He needed the Eibishter to tell him, I'm going to come along with you. He was fearing that revelation in Metzias HaGashmi. So what the Rebbe is actually doing in this Sikh, which is very, very clear, following the halach of the previous Sikhs, till now the Rebbe was giving superiority to the Gashmis over the Ruchnis. What the Rebbe does in this Sikh is sort of finalizing this, and he's telling you right out, Ruchnis is not an issue. The issue is Gashmis. Moshe didn't have an issue with Ruchnis. The whole issue is with Gashmis. So now, when it comes to the end of the Sikha, says, Ruchnis, the Gagula, that is not what I'm talking about. That is not an issue. I'm talking about the Gashmis, the Gagula. And that, what Rebbe said, and now, you look at look at the Rebbe's words, and the Rebbe says, the Yidden should now open the Gashmis, the eyes, and see what? See, these are the Rebbe's words, how the Gule is here, Begoli le'ene basa, b'zman hazeh. See how it's here, Begashmis. So in other words, the Rebbe is bringing the here, the Rebbe is not sort of retracting and saying, it's going back to Ruchnis. The whole mention here about Ruchnis, which the Rebbe never mentioned in the previous sikhs, was because he's actually saying, this is telling us, make it clear, this is not Ruchnis we're talking about. We're talking about Gashmis. Okay, and the way it's being understood by me, myself, for many other people, the Rebbe is sort of retracting his going, focusing on the Ruchnis. No, it's just the opposite way. Okay, that is by the way. Okay, fine. Now, So this is all to bring out the mahalak. Why I went into all of this is to bring out here that there's an akuta when it comes to achrozah. There's a when we're identifying with elikus, identifying with Mashiach. That it is a very important point to the gashmis, and that's why the achrozah is dafka begashmis. Okay, achrozah begashmis, just based on what we said before. Now. To actually understand the achrozah, I don't know how much we're going to. We're not going to be able to finish this today. But anyway, let's just go ahead here like this. We have this one or two points I'd like to cover today, and we'll leave the rest for next week. Okay. So now here goes like this. This is the beginning of this. We've already discussed this. With now, Chassidus tells us very clearly. There's two type of anhogas. There's an anhogan tivis and an anhogan nisis. Right. You should know. In other words. Just saying that even though the Ars Svarim, which Chassidus actually quotes, which says everything is coming from the Eibishter, the Nes is coming from the Eibishter, the Tev is coming from the Eibishter, so the Cheder, if everything is coming from the Eibishter, it's equal, but the Chassidus tells us, we should know very clearly, that there are these two distinct Anhogas, the Tev is coming from Mamalek Kalalmin, and the Nes is coming from Sevu Kolalmin, and the same thing is Al Pi Halacha. When you have a Nes, you make a bracha. You have to say Halal. When there's something Al Pi Tev, you don't make a bracha. Right? Mm-hmm. On routine events, you don't make a bracha. So there is the two distinct Anhogas from the Eibishter. One is Mamalek Kolalmin, one is Sevu Kolalmin. Very good. Now we have like this. We know there's certain Nisim which get more involved, get more enclosed into Teva. Certain Nisim which are more open Nisim are not so much enclosed into Teva. Then, but there is this one, the highest ness of all Nisim, which is Niflois Gdelis. These are Niflois Gdelis, which we told are going to be revealed. Osadavi, this is the Pasuk says, Laisa Niflois Gdelis Lavadi, the person who has these Niflois Gdelis, above all the other Nisim. But, even though they're above all the other Nisim, or even maybe, because they are above all the other Nisim, they actually don't realize them. And that's what the Pasuk said. The Eibishter makes these Nefloes in, and the Chazal tell us in Balanes Makar Benissa, the person who actually is experiencing these Nes, doesn't even realize it is a Nes. These are hidden Nisim. There's a Maim of Tzemach Tzedek, which the Rebbe is always quoting, where explains that there's certain, many of the Madregas of Nisim, different Madregas, but Bab, all the Madregas of Nisim, is these Nefloes Gdelis, which they are the greatest, they are above any Nes, and they are hidden completely into Teva, that when you see them, you assume it's Teva, you have no realization, it's a Nes at all. Not like Purim, there was some realization, you look at it, you study the facts, you see there must have been a Nes over here, Chanukah. Even though all the regular Nisim, which we say are Melubish and Teva, they are always, if really you think about it, you will come to see, they realize it is a Nes, as we are explained, but when it comes to these Nefloes Gdelis, these are fully covered up. There's no way of detecting that these are Nisim, and these are things which are happening constantly. There's Nefloes Gdelis happening constantly, and we're always considering it as Teva. So now, why is this? Why is these Nefloes Gdelis actually? Why these Nefloes Gdelis? Are you with me? Yeah.
Yes.
Ah.
Starting another
share. What can I do? Why these Nefloes Gdelis? Why these Nefloes Gdelis actually part of Teva? Because they're coming from these Nefloes Gdelis are coming from Atzmus Hus. Atzmus Hus has no difference between Nes and Teva. So when he makes such a Nes, he actually brings it into the Teva. Fine. One second. So now, the next Nekudo here, here's something we want to bring out, which we actually never really discussed. So here it goes like this. This is coming from the Rebbe, that the Rebbe says, is discussing here. I never discussed this over here with you. Okay. The Rebbe says, is discussing here about the Nes of Kriyas Yamsuf. So we learn in Tanya, that explains to us about the Nes of Kriyas Yamsuf, that what happened, the water turned into dry, turned into land. Yes, it came solid like a wall. So how did it come solid like a wall? Because there was a wind which was blowing on that water and kept it up as a wall. In other words, but there was a koyach of the Eibishter which was in that wind, which kept the wall to be a wall. That koyach, so explains in Tanya, had to be there constantly. Why? Because the nature of the water is to flow. If you want this water this wall, water to be steady and firm like a wall, you're going to constantly have to put in that energy, the kibush, the koich, the key, to keep the water. So it has to be there constantly. The same thing explains in Tanya, is about the Bria, Yeshmein. Okay, very good. Here comes the Rebbe and tells us something like this. The Rebbe here tells us that this would be with any ness which happens in which is completely negates teva. Any ness which keeps in a ness will affect this table and start making this table move up, which is against the nature of this table. Then the koyach of the ness which is raising the table would have to be constantly into the table. Very simply, comes the Rebbe and says, "Now look, this is Rebbe says the same thing would be, let's say, when you have the land, it's based on a Gemara, based on a Pasuk Tilim, a Gemara. Or, no, it's not based on a Gemara, based on a Pasuk of Tilim. When you have the land above the sea, in other words, there's the water, and then you have the land, right? So the land is always higher than the sea, right? Now, this is how the Rebbe is explaining the Pasuk of Tilim. It's a Tilim we say in Davening every Shabbos, the Reika Orat Alamayim, the Abish to keep the land above the sea, yeah? Why does this land not submerge? In other words, what the Rebbe is actually saying, probably, why does the water not sort of slowly eat away in the land and erase the land? So the Rebbe says, based on this Pasuk HaTilim, that the fact that the land stays above the land, the earth stays above water, that is a constantness. And you hear what's going on over here? So what the Rebbe is taking now is, till now, the Rebbe is taking this idea, which is actually discussed, which Tanya discusses about Kriyas Yam Suf and about Bria Yesh Me'ayin. Here the Rebbe is talking about a perfectly normal, we're standing on this land. You should know, the Rebbe is telling us, this is what the Rebbe is telling us. The fact that this land stays intact, it's not being washed away by the water, and we're not finding ourselves under the ocean, makes no sense. Now this is very clear. The Rebbe uses the word, it's hepech ha-teva. And that is the Rebbe says this is the meaning of the pasuk. The reika oratz alamayim. The pasuk we say in Shabbos, the reika oratz alamayim makes this land, it's the land kila elam chastei. That is what the pasuk means. The reika oratz alamayim. He keeps the land, the earth above the water. That is what it means. It's a nest. It's a constant nest. Okay. Now, just take. This is from this brings us to a very important point. So. To make it easier, I'll start from the other end. There is someone sent me a recording recently. I've mentioned it several times. That today, this is from some big science, the biggest science lab in the world. They've been making tests, and they say like there's billions of atom is made, and each atom is made from billions of, I don't know, nutrients. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, they say what there is so many billions of forces in going on. Between the atoms, they always thought maybe there's something which is keeping them, they should be in balance. There's something in balance. They come to realize after 30 years, I don't remember how many years of experiments, I can send you, it's, you can get it on YouTube, this, you can listen to the thing. They come to realize there's no common denominator which is keeping these thousands and billions of forces into balance. So what they say is, the chances for this world to exist and not to fall apart is, you know, light years, you know, astronomical numbers. Yeah. So they put you out 10, I don't know how many zeros, it was zeros, billions and billions of light years.
20 years ago, I heard this.
Billions of light years. At the remote chance, one of billions of light years, one fraction that the world should stay intact, because there's so many billion forces, it should there's so many different options, it should fall apart, and it's staying intact. There must be an Eibush. The kid doesn't make no sense. So this is something that came up with a few years ago.
I thought it was said opposite, like because they're all moving different ways,
yeah,
they all keep together, right? So yeah. There's a chance that they all will move one way, Right? So that means like the wall will just move over, kind of.
Whatever. This is. If you want, I can send it to you. If I can find it. So some. It's two different pieces. So this is what they say is like they've gone through. They come. They cannot be. There's nothing coordinating them. It must be the nature. The chance of world should exist makes no sense. Now, this is. I just brought this. It just makes it easier to understand. But if you take in the Igris, one of the earliest letters where the Rebbe had written about Amun in the Eibishter. So you have a Shaila in which is some person in Eretz Yisrael, which is a very well-known letter. Well, there, the person writes to the Rebbe that he's being approached by students. The early years of the Nasius, you know, there are never such clear answers. People didn't have these clear answers like we already have. And he's asking the Rebbe, is there any way I can prove to these students? They want to know, without a shadow of a doubt, there is an Eibishter. So the Rebbe goes, brings two things. One is Matan Torah, and the second thing at this point here, the Rebbe doesn't go through all this thing what they have in this audio, but the Rebbe actually explains the atoms, the coordination between the atoms, says there's no reason why they should keep in balance. So this is basically what the Rebbe says. And the Rebbe is saying there's no reason you get up tomorrow, there's no reason why you should, logic speaking, you should find the world, you know, you're getting ready. There's no reason why the world should be the same as today. The Rebbe goes through the whole thing. It's quite a long, it's a very interesting letter. So now, this letter, this point we just now discussed, this letter of the Rebbe falls in line exactly what here, where the Rebbe, actually in this sikha, which we just quoted about, where the Rebbe is explaining this, he talks about specifically the land in this pasuk, but then from the letter you see this applies to the whole mitzvahs of nature in general. What we have over here is very clearly, what we have over here we've come to see is Rebbe has shown us very clearly that here is teva. Remember, we're talking about pure teva, right? What is the Rebbe telling us? This teva is a most profound miracle, which will be beyond beyond all the miracles we know. The world should be falling apart. There's no reason why it's keeping in existence. Mm-hmm. So what we have here from the Rebbe is a very clear example of niflois gdoilus. In Teva, it's buried in Teva. What do they mean it's buried in Teva? We, when it comes to any nest, something abnormal happens. Even as a Trump will do something abnormal, so we'll all exclaim it's a nest. We may feel the nest, especially people who are Chassidim of the Rebbe, the more aware of this, they're very clear it's a nest. But my conscious existence, this existence, to say that is a total nest, this is not the way we feel. So here, this is what we see is a perfect example of niflois gdoilus. It's above any nisim, and it's completely the way we consciously feel, completely buried in the teva. Okay, so we can leave it at this, and we'll continue next week. Okay, Hatzlacha Rabba Kol Tov.